Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Goodness. I was sitting over there, you know, getting ready to come here, and the Lord told me, go get them. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, a lot of stuff going on in this church. One of the things that the Lord has shown me is that the kingdom of God has an open window and it has an open door. There is something that is happening in this world that has not really happened before. There is a great outpouring of His Spirit. I saw God standing at that threshold. I saw Jesus standing there with His hands open wide. And He's calling each and every one of you to come to Him. Now, there's a lot of voices and there's a lot of things that are going on in this world that is going to try to distract you, try to get you off keel. But Papa God's standing there. He says, come to me. You come to me. Now, you are going to have to flush out every other voice. You're going to have to put it to one side that you might come to Him. I probably won't get done with this message, probably won't, but I want to show you. I got my stuff. I got about 4 or 5 pages here. And I'll tell you, I did my work. I got my stuff here. And then got up this morning and God said something else. So now who do you go with? Your notes or what He says? I think I'm going to go with what God says. Okay, open your Bibles to John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 2. Now, I was thinking about, matter of fact, I was kind of fussing with myself over the week. I said, now, should I change Steve? Should I try to make Steve into a different person? He's kind of rough around the edge. Maybe I need to change him a little bit. God said, no, you need to be who you are. Now, yes, I'm going to tell you, I am very odd. I'm odd, I'm strange. You know, hey, you know, the thing is, I can tell you one thing you may notice today, I may read some stuff and you'll watch me stumble over it. Because sometimes my brain stops. I don't know about you, but sometimes my brain stops. I'm looking at a word, I know what the word is, but I can't say it. I have these little mental quirks, but I used to think of it as a bad thing, but I say, thank you, Lord, because those little mental quirks enable me to step from this moment, this dimension, into the kingdom of God. I can be looking at something, it's a very natural thing, like a bottle of water, and then I start to think about, oh, my thirst, but my thirst is for Jesus. And this water may take care of my flesh, but only He can take care of my spirit. See, now I said that's how my brain will work. But with that, sometimes I'll flop over stuff. So, you know, and do you realize that almost kept me out of ministry? Because I would say, how could I get in front of people and I can't even read right? And the Lord said, use your wife. And we used to have the same Bible, and I'd call out the scripture, and she's reading it right along me and giving me cues. When I couldn't find the word, Over in John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep's gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. Well, let me just go on. And at that pool there was at a certain time an angel would go down and he would stir that water. Now, within that, you can see that's the pure mercy and grace of God. He just stirs that water. And as a matter of fact, Jesus was there, and he sees this man who had been there for, I think it was 30-some years, 38 years or whatever, and he sees that man. And he goes to him, and he says to the man, "Will you be made well or made whole?" Now think about this. Now Jesus is standing there. He sees this guy, and there's a bunch of people there. And I get to see Jesus. Excuse me. But goes to that man at that time, right to him. Well, he said, why didn't he touch everybody? Because Jesus was going to that man. Father, he says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father say. God was saying to Jesus, that man's time has come. I've let my grace go all over in this water for anybody who can come and touch it. Sinner, saint, don't care. The angel stirs the water, first one gets in, you get it. But you know what? Sometimes you ain't the first one. Sometimes you the last one. And how does that break your heart? You've been all these years suffering. You've done everything you could do. Did everything you do in church. You gave, you did everything you could do. But you couldn't get what you needed. And this story here tells me there is your day. Your day that God, through Christ, comes to you. He sees you where you're at. He steps over and goes by everything else. He goes by your sin. He steps over your lack of whatever. He goes by your ignorance. He walks by all of that stuff to come to you where you're at. And he says, will you be made whole? Are you willing? Are you willing to be made whole? And that's the message that God is giving to each and every one of us. He's giving it to America. Will you be made whole? Wow, man, he's not asking your opinion. He's not calling for your ability. He says, I have arrived. Don't look at that pool anymore. Don't be worrying about some preacher, some this, some that to get you well. He says, I've come. And will you be made whole? And what was the man's response? Bless his heart, he's just like all of us. I can't get there. Somebody always there getting there before me. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I got good news for you, and I got some very, very bad news for you. The good news is Jesus has come. The bad news, he ain't accepting any excuses. You hear what I'm saying? I don't care what your past was. I don't care your educational level. I don't care whether you're sick or old. I'm going to tell you, I'm going on 75 years old, and I've tried to convince God that I needed to retire. I'm going on 75 years old. My body, matter of fact, when I walk, I look down to see if pieces done fell off. I mean, I've been working at this retirement thing. I'm a professional couch holder. I can keep that couch from moving. But God says no. And then on top of that, not just saying no, he starts to throw the Bible at me. people of the Bible, Moses and Joshua, man, they was up to 70, 80 years old before they got going. He said, you think I'm going to cut you some slack? He said, it ain't happening. And so now you're going to see me at more meetings and more this and more that. But I'm going to drag y'all with me. See, with this man, he was coming up with some excuse of why he couldn't do what he needed to do. And Jesus looks at him and he says, arise, pick up your mat or your bed and walk. Arise, pick up your mat and walk. And I will say that walking is, where is he going to walk to? He's going to go back home. So arise means you got to get up out of your stuff. You got to leave your stuff behind. You can't be carting all that stuff that you need to arise. See, too often, you know, we come to a place and we just sit there. We just sit there. And Jesus says, you're going to have to arise. You're going to have to see what I see, hear what I hear, and you're going to have to arise up to that. You know, it's funny. I tell people all the time, I am not a prophet. I'm one who can see stuff. Even whether I like it or I don't like it, I see it. And then after I see it, I got to do something about it. You can't just see the love of God and then don't do something. See, and one of the things that God is going to do, this is going to be a tough message on some of you, I'm going to tell you. He's going to be opening your eyes to situations and things around you. You're going to see it. And then he's going to look at you like, now what you going to do? And you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to start doing some things. He's going to show you the holiness and the love of God on people. And you're going to have to go and tell them. You know, God loves you. Matter of fact, we were just in a restaurant the other day, and God showed me this man, and the love of God was just shining out of him. And so I had to go over and tell him, man, I can see the love of God all over you. And he says, oh, thank you. See, sometimes you need to tell people, I can see God in you. I can see God all over you. See, you have to start to be able to encourage people so they can rise up. And see, then he says, you rise up and he says, take up your mat. Take up your mat. Take up what you have. What do you have? And if you don't know what you have, you need to start to ask God. You know, just the other day, we were, this is kind of interesting. We were going to pick up my son from the airport, and you know, it was my son, his girlfriend, and we thought it was just them, and they were looking at going, it was a trip someplace or whatever, but the kids were coming. I didn't know the kids were coming. We were going to go out to breakfast. Now, we got a car, that's one, that's two, and the five of them. Now, what you going to do with the five of them? And I'm start to worry. Now, oh, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to? And he basically said, hush, hush, just be still. And when we got there, my son said, oh, no problem. We can do this. And all of them jumped in the back seat. The big ones sat down, and the two little kids sat on their lap, and we went to get something to eat. And I'm sitting up here, do we have to get one of them Ubers or the Coobers or what, or something to come and tar? But no, God has already had the answer. And I say that just to say, now, when we were at the place we ate, I got up and we were walking out, and we saw this homeless lady there. Now, I didn't know. My wife had spoken with her, and I'm not, the thing is, now, this is me. I don't know about you. This is me. I mind my own business. So I looked at her and I said, and I'm went on out, you know. She was there, and I went on out. I'm walking on down. And the Lord said, now, you need to go back and give her this money. And I had I have no problem giving people money. Because it's just money. I reached in my pocket, got the money out, went back and gave it to her. And I started to walk off, and he said, now you need to go give her a hug. Whoa, let's stop right there. I don't know this woman. So I turned around and said, Lord told me to give you a hug. And I gave her a hug. She broke down and started crying like a baby. See now, if I know you, I might give you a little pat on the back. But if I don't know you, I ain't giving you no hug. I mean, now that's way outside my comfort zone. But see, the thing is, God is doing a new thing in our lives. He is taking me from glory to glory. He is making you become more than whatever you are at the moment. And that's what God is getting ready to do in this church and in this world, because we have a mandate in the kingdom to bring people into the kingdom. And you're going to have to get beyond wherever you're at. And so that's what he tells this man. Get up, pick up your mat, whatever you have, and walk. And to me, that walking is walking out into the world, but also it's a walk back home. You are children of God. You are called to be certain things. And your lameness has kept you from being that. God never intended that man to be at that place, sitting around there with all those people. He had meant him to be grown up, to be healthy, be whole, and to be being about his Father's business. And how many times has our infirmities, whatever they might be, spirit, soul, or body, has kept you from being the person you have been called to be? Now, I'm going to get in your business. I'm going to get in your business right now. All of you out there, me too, all of you have some lameness. And don't lie to yourself. Now, if I could get you one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, we could talk about, I'm lame here, I'm lame there. There is a time, beginning now, that God wants to heal your lameness. But you're going to have to admit it. My message, it's interesting, was entitled, Will You Be Made Whole? The Divine Singularity. And the thing is, I am kind of a science buff. I don't apologize for it. I will talk to you about quantum physics. I will talk to you about black holes. Don't apologize for it. Because there's certain things that are of the kingdom of God that he tries to reflect in this world. And you got to get outside of this time and space to be able to understand it. When I talk about a singularity, the best way that I can see that and understand it is within a black hole. And most of you know, a black hole is this place in space that is sucking in everything. Everything. Stars, galaxies are being sucked into that black hole into one single point. It collapses everything down. Light can't even get away from it. And that singularity in the spiritual realm is God. Everything comes and is going toward God. He's pulling everything into that place. Now, one thing that about a black hole, it's out there, but it's spinning. And everything, stars and stuff, come toward that black hole. And here's what happens. They will spin around it, and it's one of two options happen. Either they will get into past the event horizon, and event horizon is once you go past that one point, you're going to go into that black hole. Either that's going to happen or they're going to spin off. And then they're going to take a little trip around the universe again until they come back there. All of us experience that. We circle around, we come close to God. Now either you're going to go all the way into God or you'll spin off and go around again. Isn't that the truth? Didn't Moses kind of experience that? He was did all whatever, and then he finally goes to that burning bush. See, that's the example of singularity. He gets pulled right into that single place. And see, the thing is, and here's again, with that singularity, that event that's going around here, I don't care whether it's good or bad. When it's bad, it will pull you close to the point where you can either meet God or go away. It could be a good thing. It will pull you toward either you're going to meet God or go away. Either you're going to start to praise God and serve God, or you're going to spin off. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. All of you know you at one point in your life, you were, or because of an event, you were close to God. And then you kind of, a couple of years ago, I almost died. I was having kidney failure. Boy, I got close to God then. You believe that? Me and him are like that. But after, you know, he got me healed up somewhat and something, and you kind of drift away a little bit. I think we were talking in our family group thing, and we were talking about, you know, one of the things when you first get saved or you first look at getting saved, well, why don't you want to get saved? If I get saved, it might send me to Africa. Any of you have been to Africa? Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's worse places than Africa that you have to go to. Like being nice to your mother-in-law or not smacking the kids when they act up. See, we are all here worrying about these things over here, but God is calling us to this place in Him. And so oftentimes we fight. And I think, wow. And I'm not talking about being saved. I'm not talking about being saved. You can be saved and not have a good relationship with God. Just like you can be married and don't talk to your wife. Or she don't talk to you other than hitting you with a pan or something. But, you know, but that's the truth. And we all know that. You can have official relationships, but no deep relationships. In this day and age, God is calling us to depth, a deep place in Him. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are issues in your life right now that God is ready to set you free from if you're willing to go past that event horizon and allow yourself to be sucked into God. You know? I remember when I was a kid once, and there was this, that thing had to be as high as that thing here, a diving board. And I got up, I was a little kid, I got up and waited my turn. I climbed all up there, all the way out to the edge. And I looked down, and I said, oh, no, that ain't happening. And I turned around and pushed my way back through the rest of the crowd and climbed back down. Now, we've all been there. Things that you just can't do. I remember over in, what is that? Oh, not James. Oh, Romans chapter 7, where he talks about unable to do the things that you want to do and all this, that conflict there. What's that? We call it sin. Well, that's true. But what is real sin? Sin is separation from God. That's what sin is about. You are separated, and some area or something in your life has separated you from God. I had here about facing the facts. The first thing it says that I admit that I am powerless over the effects of my separation from God, my lack of deep intimacy with God, and my life has become unmanageable. That's the first thing you're going to have to admit. That there's areas, there's things in my life and where I have been separated from God. And then it talks that the scripture that backs that up is Romans 7, verses 18 through 20. You know, he says, there's no good thing in me, he talks about. You can look all these scriptures up. And then there's this place, as I said, there's that call to divine intimacy. That the only way that you're going to get past this is admit that I have blind spots, I have holes in my life, and that I am willing, by the grace of God, to have him take care of that. One of these things is, the reason why this happened, or our condition of where this actually comes from, is a thing called RAD. It's reaction attachment disorder. And we've dealt with a lot of kids who had that consistent RAD condition. And I didn't realize I had the RAD condition. It's the inability to make healthy attachments. And a lot of that occurs with really, really young children that they never been able to attach to their mom and their dad. They have lack of attachment. You know, and because of that, there's no trust. Now, let me just give you a little quick human development. Now, when we are born as a baby, see, Henry Ann used to nurse our sons. Now, hear me. I'm not saying whether nursing or bottle feeding is better, one or the other. I'm not going there. But where I am going is, when you nurse, you need to be eyeball to eyeball. Matter of fact, they did studies with monkeys where a person held the monkey and fed him versus them just kind of laying the body over one side and let them nurse. Made a big difference in their development. The reality is, you are a we before you are an I. When you nurse, eyeball to eyeball, you gain identity. You come to know who you are, whose you are, and what you've been called to through that connection, being held. You know, it's taken me, I was thinking about, most of you know Jonathan. And one, since he's the best mother I've ever seen. He holds those babies, whether it's his or not, and he will feed them, he will love on them. Incredible. He nurtures better than virtually anybody I know. And that's what we have to be able to do. We have to learn to be able to nurture. See, because with this RAD condition, we lose the ability to connect. And when you lose that ability to connect to God, your life falls apart. If you can't connect to God, and see, as God gives you something, as God feeds you, see, matter of fact, as I read the Word of God, I don't just read it. I read it in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I say, Daddy, you got to hold me first before you can talk to me. You got to hold me. See, I don't just run and do Bible studies. I used to. Man, I used to just be able to grab any word you want. I'd get my concordance out. I'd get Henry, whatever that commentary. I'd put it all together. I can do that. No problem doing that. But without intimacy, you will never know truth. Without intimacy, you will never have revelation. And it's revelation that brings forth transformation. So you have to be in the presence of God. You have to allow Him to tell you what the Word means and what it's doing and what it's saying in your life. And then you can start to change. Now, that's the condition. Now, what's the foundation for change? We come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to wholeness. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come to believe that there is a power greater than you. See, the thing is, how we used to deal with the rad children, a rad child really needs to realize that there's someone bigger than they are. Now, it was a time Henry Ann had a little boy when the people brought us to meet the little boy. That little boy bit her. Matter of fact, actually, he had built him a set of chairs and stools and built them up, and he was climbed up on them, just swaying and throwing snot at him and blood. And they finally got him down. He looked at him and ran and bit right into her arm. But she was trained. She kind of pushed his head down till he couldn't breathe, and then he let go. Well, yeah, we all got to breathe sooner or later. So she just waited, and he finally let go. But we had him in school, and she would set boundaries. And he thought, well, she ain't going to do it. And he used to love to play basketball. Little old boy. And she'd make him sit down. No, for lunch, you know, you ain't. Because I asked you not to do this, and you did it anyway, or you didn't do it. You don't sit there. Didn't take long for that boy to just straighten up. See, now, one thing about her, and now she did this with our children. She is an iron box with a velvet lining. That woman, the kids are more scared of her than me, because she would not bend and smile at you. Just smile at you and love at you, but wouldn't bend. And plus, she had this Vulcan pinch. And she'd kick that thing. Or she had the look. And they could be all the way across the room, and she cut them that look, and them boys straightened right up. Now, some people say, oh, that mean and cruel and all that, but our boys are doing well. My boys know how to get along with anybody. They're doing well. Because she was able to instill in them the ability to hear and obey. She set healthy boundaries. Side note, one of these times I'm going to probably get with the Sunday school group and maybe teach a thing on boundaries. Most Christians have the worst boundaries I have ever seen in my life. The worst boundaries in regards to people and with God. You know God has boundaries? Do you realize everybody ain't going to get into heaven? I mean, do you realize that? Certain people won't get in because they won't do what He asked them to do. It's open to everybody. But you're only going to get in a certain way. You can't just do any old kind of thing. We need to learn healthy boundaries. You know, the thing is, one thing the Lord's saying, there's a thing of what you won't do and what you can't do. One of the things I found of what you won't do, I find that particularly in the Old Testament, the laws and all of that. So I won't do that. But when I get to the New Testament, you get into, I can't do that. Why? Because Jesus lives in me. I can't do that. It goes beyond, I won't do it. But no, I can't do that. Will it get you burned at the stake? Yeah. Would it get you your head chopped off? Most likely. But no matter what, I can't do that. Because Jesus is in here. I am one with him. I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't live like that. And you know what? That's what you need. Hey, when that big old slice of pizza is coming your way and you want to have another one, you need something and you say, no, I can't have another one of them. Now, y'all know what I mean. I mean, some of y'all are looking at me like, y'all know what I mean. Because you don't have I can't in there. You have I don't want to, I don't like to, I shouldn't do that. But you need, I can't do that. And that's only going to come from a deeper relationship with him. And if he sends you to Africa, he sends you to Africa. And if you have to go have lunch with your mother-in-law, you got to go have lunch with your mother-in-law. See, that's what we're talking about, that type of transformation. And see, that's that foundation. And with that foundation, that lays our foundation so we can build our house on it. The foundation is praise, worship, and thanksgiving. That's the footer. That's the foundation that you have to build from. See, because when you really start to build, the first block of building is humility. And I'm going to tell you the truth. In one sense, I have a real hard time, or had a real hard time with humility because of that rad condition that I grew up with. My father was an alcoholic. He'd knock you to next week. Man, you don't mess with him. But you know what? He got saved and went to AA and got sobered up and was transformed. But even though he was transformed, I still suffered from when he wasn't transformed. And had years, and even to this day, I'm working through some rad stuff of being able to connect with people. See, I can love you out there. I can preach you the word of God out there. But I don't, a lot of times, let too many people get inside that shell. And God is breaking that and allowing me to let people in. Because rad children don't let nobody in. They don't trust nobody. And matter of fact, they don't even trust God. I barely got saved. And I'm going to tell you the truth. The only reason I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I'm just honest. I just didn't want to go to hell. Did I love Jesus and want to do it? No, he was all right. But I just didn't want to go to hell. I mean, I woke up one day and said, you going to hell, boy. I said, oh, no, I got to do something about that. Maybe I'll pick up, because I was going to Sunday school, and they told me about this Jesus guy. I said, maybe he can get me out of that deal. And so I got saved. But still kind of led my life and all what I wanted to do, because I did not want to give up control. Because rad kids don't give up control. Don't trust nobody. Nobody, not even God. And God has been, over time, getting the rad out of me. Getting me to the point that I can trust him. And see, the thing is, I can look at all of your faces, and I know I'm in a room with a bunch of rad kids. Because all of us got that thing, you know, just can't fully trust. Even though you're saved. And so that's what God is moving us from glory to glory. He's working on that. He's working on you being able to let go and trust God. I was terrified coming up here. I was sitting over there. I mean, I preached thousands of messages, but I was like, and I had some people pray for me, and I said, I'm all right now. God loves me. I'm your brother. No matter what, we family. What you gonna do with me? I don't go away. See, y'all got to love me. I'm family. See, you got to. And so after that, I'm saying, I'm fine now. I come up here. See, but the thing is, it's us coming to learn to be able to just bow ourselves and let God take control. And matter of fact, I was walking up here, when I was walking up here, I didn't feel no anointing whatsoever. Nothing. I didn't feel nothing. And I said, well, God, you got a problem. Because if I get up there, only thing I can do is whatever you say. And if you don't say something, this meeting going to be very short. But you know what? I can feel the anointing all over me. I can feel the wiggle. You see, there is where worship, praise with thanksgiving. Worship and praise cause me to hear God. And worship and praise, I come and I meet God, and we meet together. And you know the word you talk about, intimacy? We usually say it's into me, God sees. Let me flip that around a little bit. When God says intimacy, he says into me, you see. You see, and then that is what changes you. That you're actually peering into the heart of God. And you open yourselves up with thanksgiving is your ability to receive. Praise and worship causes you to see into the kingdom. Thanksgiving allows the kingdom to enter into you. And when that enters into you, you are transformed. You get to a place that I can't do that any longer. Man, I used to do more drugs than the law would allow. I did it. But I can't do it now. I can't do it. It's not that I just don't want to or what. No, I can't do that anymore. Because I met him. And I met him in that area. And now that area is transformed. Now, can I eat a lot of pizza? Yeah. So you know what? That's going to have to be transformed. See, all of this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but it happens at the pace in which you're willing to give it to him. Will you be made whole? Nobody can do it for you. God's not going to make you. Will you be made whole? Very gentle. Will you be made whole? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you feel about it, whatever. Are you going to allow God to change you? And like I said, right now, there is a window open. There is a window open. Things that you have struggled with for years and couldn't get over, right now is the moment. Now, I don't know how long that thing is going to be open the way it is open right now, because I literally see him here getting ready to, willing to pick you up. Now, I don't know how long that's going to last. And I'm not saying this to get you to boohoo or jump or whatever. I'm just telling you what I see. And see, and like with a kid, the mother nurses the kid to give him some identity, and then the kid is set down. Now, because we have had eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart experience, now that child will always look for mama. Look for mama like this. Why? Because I know mama loves me. I know mama will nurture me. See, this human development, and that's why God did that. He starts in the natural to take you to the spiritual. He starts in the natural to take you to the spiritual. The problem is we've messed up the natural. But it should work that way. You should be able to nurse your kid, put them down. They'll come back to you. You'll be able to hold them. They'll climb up in your lap, be easy and be God, and then be able to put them back down, and they grow on up. That's what God wants to do with you. Pick you up, love on you, set you down, and that you know you still have that relationship. Our kids still call mama. Matter of fact, we get back home another couple hours, oldest boy's going to give her a call. He's going to fuss at her if she hadn't put her foot up because she had that foot surgery. She'll fuss at her. Now, mom, have you put your foot up? But see, now that's the growth that God wants for you, that you learn. And for those who have not had that healthy growth in their life, that's what he's put all y'all out here for. You're going to be mamas and daddies to the world. You're going to love up on them. You're going to teach them about God so they might grow up and meet him. I'm going to just very quickly just mention, we looked at the foundation. Look at how do we actually build ourselves? How does this actually work? One thing is humility. That's when you want to build your house on this foundation of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. The building blocks of that is going to be humility, surrender with acceptance, obedience with grit. Very quickly, humility is being able to lay myself down. And humility only comes because we have found somebody who's greater than us. If you are your own God, you will never have humility. And I'm sorry, sometimes God has to allow very bad situations to occur in your life so your life can be broken and you can cry out to him. Because you know what? A lot of times blessings don't do it. Hopefully, you should be able to be blessed into humility, but a lot of us are hard-headed like me. Blessings just, I love them, but sometimes they don't quite get me to that place of humility. I'm trying to think, should I tell you this or not? You probably think I'm an old heathen if I tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Had my little white car, blew the engine on it. Matter of fact, we were going to give that car to a caregiver for her mother, but we messed up the engine, so we had to get another car. This was like a used, but it was a 24, had a few miles on it, and one thing led to another. It was totally paid for. It didn't cost me nothing. Do you think I was hollering and jumping? It was wonderful. You think I did that? No? Oh, that's good. Ooh, he's a heathen. Yeah, a little bit. But you see, sometimes blessings don't make you. You think they're supposed to, but sometimes they just, you know, you just kind of like, I'm God's kid. I'm supposed to get that. Bad. But that's life. That's where you are sometimes. But then there's other times something happened that's not so nice. And then you got to cry out a little bit. And then when that thing comes, you say, God, thank you, Lord. Little side note, and I'll probably end with that. We had a situation in our lives that's been going on for a couple years. With a family member in bad situation, and people were doing right and all this kind of stuff, and I was fussing about it, and oh Lord, deliver them. I was full blown problem mode. And you know what? God finally answered thing, got the boy into a nice, good nursing home and all of that. Now you think I was grateful? I was grateful for that long. And you know what the Lord showed me? He said, Steve, you were so full of the problem that when I removed the problem, you were empty. praying all the time, calling out to God all the time. But when that problem went, I was as empty. He says, you need to be focused on me. You need to be worshiping me. Because then when the problem goes, you know what's going to be left? Praise and worship. So I'm gonna give you all that warning. See, this is Granddad Steve telling you. See, I've been there, and I'm just warning you, don't get full of your problems. Because when God solves them, you ain't gonna have nothing. You need to be full of praise and worship for him in everything. Because I'm gonna tell you, God will and is going to resolve the issue. I don't care what. It's going to get resolved. The question is what you're going to have left over. What are you going to have left over? And you're going to have to make a decision now that I'm going to be focusing on the praise and the worship of God. So we have that humility. We have surrender with acceptance. You can surrender to certain things but not fully accept them. So you have to surrender and accept what God is doing. And then obedience, appropriate action, with grit. Doing what is right, no matter how long it takes. And then the thing that covers it all and holds it back together, in the midst of all that, we just go back to praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Intimacy is a lifelong process. So begin now. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord. And thank you for enabling us by your Spirit to go in and enter into an intimate time with you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.